So, I'm back on the needle, or at least I was for a day.
Disgusting.
World of Warcraft is heroin. No one should play it.
It is awful.
That's why
it's a scourge on the community.
That's if anyone has ever wondered, like, oh, you know so much about lore, Mario. Why don't you know much about World of Warcraft? Because, like, I told myself, I can't.
No.
Yeah, it's, he's I a can't. Smart man.
I've seen what it's done to my friends.
Addiction is a disease, and people need to be careful. You need to know yourself. But I'm very proud of myself, because I was only playing World of Warcraft for 2 days before I decided to not play anymore.
That's good.
And part of that has to do with, I guess, Blizzard was trying to merge all of their Classic servers, because there's like 4 versions of Classic right now.
Yeah.
And they were trying to like manage that better, and so they had an extended 24-hour maintenance, this most maintenance period. And they had to extend it by 3 hours multiple times. Stuff only recently came back up, as of this recording, and I was really excited when I saw that Burning Crusade Anniversary was coming out. I really like Burning Crusade. I really like the Anniversary. I really want to play Burning Crusade Anniversary. So I log in. I make my little Space Goat Shaman. I'm like, yay, Space Goat Shaman. But I have the thought, wow, I don't want to compete with all these other Space Goats. There's got to be a better way.
So they offer them more boosts. Money. Yeah.
They offer boosts. Yeah, you did. But they don't let you boost Blood Elves or Draenei. At least they did it in Classic. They do an Anniversary. So, I found a little boosting thingy. They have like a little bundle thingy, the bundle do,
yeah.
Where you get like a mount and some other stuff. But the point being was, you got one of the things for the upgraded bundle was you got a boost and you got a month of game time. So you're getting $15 of game time. Basically, it boiled down to I was saving $5. So I was like, I'm just gonna buy the big bundle. But because they fucked up the server merging thing so hard, all of their character services were down. You just couldn't use the boost. So I was like, so not only can I not play because there's too many other players in the starting zone, I can't even use the boost that I bought. Refund. I'm not playing this game.
Good.
You got the money back, though?
Yep.
Okay. Refund.
Let the hate flow through.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope. Genuinely, this whole time,
if my dopamine was interrupted for even a second, I'm not doing it.
If I did not hear you say that you got a refund, I was like, so it's just going to sit there, just like a little baggie of heroin on your nightstand. Like, I don't even need it. It can sit there.
If I didn't get the refund, I'd be playing right now. I wouldn't be talking to you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I managed to get my heroin refunded. So I said, I went to my dealer and I said, no, sir. It wasn't directly into my veins when I got home, so I'm actually over it.
He's like, you'll be back.
Yeah. I was literally about to do the same joke.
It's bad because Kelly's boyfriend was like trying to gas it up, and I was like, oh no, it's happening.
And Rob's been playing again.
Yeah, I saw him playing, and it's like I'm watching him play Warcraft.
I could throw rocks at him.
Well, that looks fun. I could be playing Warcraft. That's how
So by the way,
like Mr. Cartman is, but except I'm just like, how do I reach my friends?
I did have a brief glance into a feeling that I don't often get with like having super specific knowledge about games, because Rob, the way that he plays World of Warcraft, he just equips whatever is the best item. Like, he just equips it. He doesn't care what it looks like. He, like, played until, like, he played through, like, until Dragonflight, almost, I think.
And, I think his original going of WoW, he stopped at Kata. No, I think he stopped at Wrath and came back for Kata for a bit, and then he stopped until, like, only played, like, private servers and stuff until Legion.
Right.
And then that's when I started playing with Rob, was during Legion.
But, so, like, he stopped again, like, I think a little before.
Yeah.
Dragon Isles.
Yeah.
And then that was when he was like, I quit forever. It's done. It's fully quitted. And that entire time, he didn't do anything with transmogrification. He doesn't play dress up.
Which I love dress up.
And
love,
then...
That's so good.
He started playing again recently. And he got an item that he really liked the look of. There's a headband that you can get that looks like Rambo's red headband. And... Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when you get that as an item, you can't transmogrify it because it's a white item. It doesn't have any like value that you can like make it. You can't take that appearance and put it on a different piece of gear, which you can with anything that's above that level of quality, any white item. And he's very frustrated by this. Like, I can't believe there's no way for me to have the one item that I've ever thought I want. I want my head item to look like this, and I can't do it. And now I don't play the game correctly at all. For one, I play on a laptop
with
the touchpad.
Not a mouse.
And for two, I don't like any of the like group.
It's one thing for your friends to do drugs. Another thing for them to do drugs wrong. Kevin,
they trust me. It is. I don't do any of the group content like end game content really. I would go back and I searched for transmog and all the different items that I could get to look pretty so I could play dress up basically. Because I love character design and all of this and I'm a big fat dork about it. And so as soon as Rob was like, I can't believe it, this is unfair, this item can't even get it like put on somewhere else, and I turn around in my seat with my fingers tended like, well, well, well. We have here.
Look how the turntables.
Because it's Rob.
Like balls and over Kevin's court now. Eh?
Rob, I happen to know for a fact that that's an item that you can transmogrify onto your character. They wear mail and it can do it because on my character that wears mail, that's also an item that they use. And he's like, where then? And I'm like, you see, in Warlords of Draenor, if you build up the inn, then there, you can get a quest from the very same Rambo man that you got the original headband from. And if you do that quest, you can get his headband as a... You can just use it on anything. It's cosmetic. And I know this because I obviously have it, and I have all of them. I've done it all.
All we did was collect dress-up for a while.
Yeah.
That's the best way to play heroin right now.
Every... Dress-up simulator. Every dungeon...
Mario just shaking his head.
How do I reach my fiends?
Every quest item, like, skin, and every dungeon item skin that you could get from, like, baseline Azeroth Cataclysm content, I had that on my mage, because that's all I did.
Well, you know, hope your guys are happy with all never. Of that, or if you're not, even better. I am holding the line. I remain pure. I wash my hands of this WoW business.
I'm not going to play it ever. I'm not going to play it ever again. But it did feel good for one moment to be like, actually, that can be done, and I know. I reveled in it.
It's rare when you get to do that to a WoW.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially with Warcraft. It's like super rare.
Yeah.
And with that, welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Vampire.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mario.
And if you enjoy the nature of this content, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go ahead and give us a follow on Blue Sky. You can support us on our Patreon. Today, we're going to be going into Skaven again.
Skaven. Is this history or origin?
This will be the history of the Skaven. This one might take two parts because there's a lot to go over. So let's get started.
Yeah, and if you caught the first episode, clearly it's going to be real fun and happy.
Yeah.
Not for the faint of heart. I apologize if this content is a bit bleak for anybody, but I enjoy it, so I will continue talking about it.
Look, it's Warhammer, and if you watch a Warhammer thing where we're talking about the people, the stuff in depth, and you're just like, this is too dark. It's just like, you're watching the wrong thing. I'm sorry.
You should wait until we talk about something else.
Go watch One Piece. That's so much more fun.
Like, it is.
So, fun fact about the Skaven. The Skaven do not record history.
Classic.
Of course.
That's so helpful for history.
They have no true concept of time.
They have an extremely complex language they could do that with, you know.
Right? They have no true concept of time, dates, ages, years, or generations. History is measured solely by personal glory and events relevant to the self.
So only the things I heard about.
12 days after the battle at the
moment. Yeah.
I mean, that does actually kind of make
sense. Doesn't it?
Because they're underground, so they can't, you know, they don't have the sun to track the days by, so...
Yeah, I suppose they don't.
Would you... I mean, because the drow get away with that, they have a giant pillar in the middle, like a natural stone pillar. It's the job of the archmage of the... whatever, the wizard school to basically make it, like, super hot, and it travels down it, and that's a day.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And they can't measure it by sleep either because they're like tweakers. I mean, they're always on a
stimulant. The drow thing, it's just like, at least they try.
Yeah,
but obviously that's like in a very imperfect system. But
yeah,
it totally makes sense. Like, especially if you're cracked out Skaven, like, yeah, what's a day? You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm
gonna wait for a week.
So, Skaven Blight, city of the Skaven, is thought to have been founded about -2000 Imperial Calendar. It had a few names: Tylos, Kavzar, Kasfar, Telay, Tail, Tumas. The sources vary.
Yeah, because they don't have a friggin' proper language or history of what it was called.
And though this is other civilizations looking at Skaven blight. So a lot of civilizations deny that the fact that Skaven exist. Some of them are screaming at the other ones that Skaven exist, and one of them are the Talayans, which is basically not Italy, and they're right south of where Skaven blight is. So they have a very intimate and horrible relationship with Skaven.
They're definitely real, guys.
Yeah, they're definitely real. They're fucking with us all the time. It's terrible.
The mole men, they're terrible.
But the one I'm going to go with for this history is going to be Khabzar, because that's the one in Children of the Horned Rat, and this is the most recent, considered the most relevant canon as of this recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are a few other origin myths about how Skavenblight came to be, and a lot of them differ, but I'm just going to go with the doom under Khabzar for this, and I'm specifically going to go with the dwarf telling, because the dwarf telling has a somewhat bittersweet ending, so it's a little bit nicer than the other ones. So Khabzar was a city-state of humans and dwarves located at the top of a hill between Telea, not Italy, in Estalia, not Spain. The human Khabzar tribe lived above ground while the dwarves lived under the hill. The humans grew grain and corn while the dwarves mined ore, and strong commerce allowed them both to flourish. Some sources say they were the most prosperous human city at the time, between -2500 imperial calendar and 2000 imperial calendar. The streets were paved with gold, and the temple to the gods was made of Gromril jade marble. And Gromril, which is the major metal of the dwarves. Extremely valuable shit. This is the most, impeccably lavish city.
Right.
So
it's also, being described, Tolkienian, where it's and it was a great city
very Tolkienian.
On a hill, yeah.
There's a word for it. I need to look it up, because this is, the second time I brought it up on the podcast, and I'm not able to think of the word. It's like Halcyon Days or something.
Yeah.
Where it's you look back and it's this faded glory of things were so great and now they're where they're at now, and it's a sort of aesthetic that Tolkien really cultivated in Lord of the Rings of
He always he had a very romantic view of antiquity, and it's that comes through in the Lord of the Rings, the fall of Numenor and blah blah blah. And
that was all that shit.
That was Atlantis, basically, and it's just the glory of man is fading and blah blah blah, all that stuff.
So, yeah, this city, none of that. It's spectacular, elegant, and the people are so blessed and so happy, they decide, we need to pay the gods tribute for all the blessings of our kingdom. We're going to build a giant tower. It's going to pierce the heavens, and that way everyone knows how grateful we are. And so they start building this tower, and it was the tallest structure ever to be erected in the Mollus throughout all of history.
Hmm.
The story differs here. But basically, it took over 100 years to build. The stonemasons went up, and then their children kept building it, and their children's children continued to build it. Until the tower was so tall, they couldn't complete it. They wanted to put a brass bell at the top to be able to ring and sound out to the world, oh, we love the gods, we love the gods. But they couldn't lift the bell up because the tower was so fucking tall. So they basically couldn't finish their forefathers' work, and everyone was really fucking bummed out about this. Then one day, a stranger came. The Skaven referred to him as the Shaper.
Hey, everybody, just here to see the tower that reaches the gods. Looks really nice.
And the Shaper shows up and says, hey, I can fix your bell problem in one night. All I ask is that I can put my own dedication to the gods on the bell. And they said, yeah, Batman, bet evil stranger, mysterious man. We don't know you're evil yet, but stranger, mysterious man, there's surely no, this pang cannot backfire.
They didn't have any, ace attorney motherfucker, objection, which god?
Not yet. Not in -2000 pure calendar.
How are you going to get it up there?
Man.
I've invented a unique form of pulley system. Well, that checks out to me. Get cracking on that message. I want that bell up by morning.
And regardless of the story, he finished the task,
right?
And the people came at midnight to go list. So we'll watch the hear the bell ring for the first time, and they go out and the bell rings 13 times, and then a warpstone fell from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
A storm came that never stopped, and it kept raining, and it kept raining, and the crops started wilting, or started getting sogged down, and food couldn't grow anymore, and warpstone kept falling from the sky and corrupting all the crops in the land, and things got bad, and then it went to worse, and the humans went down to the dwarves and said, please help us, there's no food left, please help us, and the dwarves say, we got our own fucking problems, guys, it's, all our fucking tunnels are flooding, it's fucked down here. So the humans are basically not allowed down, they can't help each other, and then the rats came. Tides, swarms of rats, eating the weak, eating the malnourished, eating all the raining food.
Snorting all the rock.
Eating the rocks themselves!
Yeah.
And basically the land was so corrupted and so horrid that nothing could live there anymore. And eventually the humans went mad, kicked down the dwarves and dwarfs. So in one version, the humans went mad, kicked down the dwarven gates, and all they found was basically found the Skaven, and the Skaven ate them.
Yeah.
But the Doomunder Khavsar version, which is the wholesome version, is the humans went down and saw the dwarves were just under the same threat they were, and they fought back to back to the end. And the dwarves used that as a cautionary tale of this is why humans and dwarves have to stick together, otherwise we all get eaten by Skaven. Humans are dwarves' oldest ally and the only other people who can help us. We can't trust those smelly elves.
You know? Yeah. I was going to say, that was what confused me a little bit. It's like, where are the elves and all this? But it's just like, yeah, no, fuck those guys. And like,
and War of the Beard. War of the Beard.
And like, yeah.
Refer
like,
to the War of the Beard.
As far as the fuckers that are up, you know, on the surface, like, they're the most, like, us dwarves, you know?
Closest thing. Yeah. Damn near. And the dwarves consider humans, like, their greatest friend because of Sigmar and the Battle of Blackfyre Pass. Hmm. We can go into that into a different episode one
That's day. Where the titular Warhammer comes from.
Yes, exactly. Basically, Sigmar led, like, before the Empire... This is the battle that founded the Empire. He, like, led a whole bunch of humans to this, like, pass to, like, stop a whole bunch of orcs from migrating, if they had done, Dwarven civilization would have collapsed. So, the bridge version of that. But, yeah. Anyway, Skaven.
Yeah.
yeah, so, that happened, and the result of that event, the Skaven were born. Now, in the Children of Mordred supplement, they believe, it straight up just says that the Shaper was an old one. Huh? So, it just flat out says that.
What do the old ones look like in Warhammer?
We don't know. But they made the lizard men.
Everyone assumes they were probably very similar to the Sland.
Right? Yeah.
Which are basically giant toad dudes.
Right.
The speculation that's largely considered to probably be the case is that the Sland are like a watered down copy of them.
Right. And I just wanted to make sure they weren't Cthulhu's.
No, they're just like mainly maybe reptile slash like
probably
amphibious.
So he almost certainly sounded like, "Hey guys, I can solve your problem."
I mean, I was not expecting him to say it was an old one. I assumed that was a demon or something. Like,
no, the book, the source itself states it was probably an old one that did that, which makes him like a renegade old one or something.
That's the only time I've ever heard of, yeah, like one doing something like that. Yeah,
which like, it offers a lot of implications about the shenanigans they've been up to. Because the book just flat out says that. Like, and that's like from the source itself. And it's not speculation.
And the horned rat, no?
Like, because, like, the book says it could thought to be only one of the old ones. It kind of says it in, like, a speculative tone, but it flat out just says it.
And
so,
is there any speculation that this changer became the horned rat?
Or? No. No, there's not. Does not put the two together.
Okay. So he was just being a dick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just being a dick. Which just happens all the time in Warhammer. Sometimes people are dicks. Yeah.
Just they're all hanging out old South America way, because that's where the lizard men sort of exist. And the Slanners, they're gigantic, like, toad men, and they're like, a message from the old ones. There's a city on the other side of the world that appears to be flourishing with the man, with the hairless, hairy ones, but then the tiny hairy ones. This is most strange, but the old ones have sent a message to us as well. They're going to handle it. We don't know what they mean by that, but they're going to handle this city before it becomes a problem. I mean,
the great plan.
Hello, guys! Just...
Yeah, well, so, okay, I want to bring something up real quick. I just had a brain blast.
Uh-huh.
I'll go into this a little more later, but when the Slan were presented the Skaven, they flat out said these guys are not part of the great plan. what the fuck is this thing? So it would make sense if a renegade Slan just kind of made them because he did it outside of the Great Plan. I could buy that.
There's this scene that I always want to fucking... I wish I could, like, blast it into people's minds like I had a stand or something from JoJo's. With just the scene from South Park with Officer Barb Brady.
What the hell was that thing?
What the hell is that thing?
Yeah, dude, it's so good.
Goddamn.
So, around negative 1600 Imperial Calendar, the Skaven ran out of Warpstone around Skaven Blight, and they had to venture out to get more. Originally thriving in their home, they ran out of room quickly, but they devised a plan. They were going to open up a great rift beneath the rock and make room for everybody. Aw, isn't that nice? So they built a giant geomatic machine. It describes that they summoned forth the loose energies coursing beneath the rock. And in an older edition, they specifically used the light magic. They pulled out light magic from the earth. I think that got changed to latent earthbound magic in more recent editions. Because in 4th edition it says they built a great machine powered by sorcery, warpstone that will control the energies of light magic coursing through the earth. But regardless, they turned on this machine, and it kind of worked, and then failed. And when it failed, the city sank tens, if not, like, sank into the earth, like the actual city sank.
Yeah.
Into the Blighted Marsh, and tens of thousands of Skaven died instantly. And it crushed a whole bunch of them, and their city basically fell apart, and it was pretty bad. And the ensuing shockwave got worse as it went away from Skaven Blight, and it went all the way up the Black Mountains into the World's Edge Mountains and shattered Dwarven civilization to its core, which immediately followed the Goblin Wars, where Dwarven civilization collapsed. So, yeah, right after the War of the Beard.
Even when Skaven are causing problems for themselves, they just fuck it even harder for
everyone else. Exactly. If this is a reoccurring theme that will be established of Skaven fucking themselves over, kind of, but way worse for everyone else.
It'll be a small demolition blast. Just a little bit more holes for more Skaven.
And then they hit the button, and you just, like, zoom out to the whole planet, and you see the tectonic plates just shift.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, a bunch of dwarf holds flooded, cracked, just not safe anymore. The underway in ruins. The underway being the underground road system the dwarves use, which the Skaven then just invaded. Well, not yet at least, but they eventually, yeah, like the Underdark of the Warhammer world was made by the dwarves,
mm-hmm.
and then expanded by the goblins and Skaven with their own crude tunnels.
Which real quick, how do Skaven and Orcs/goblins interact? They just
I'll get there.
Kill. Okay.
I'll get there. But it's mostly kill on sight.
But I figured. But
a lot of times it'll be get the stunties.
Right. Yeah.
Because mutual threat. They're really dangerous because they're organized and we're not. So we have to get rid of that organization before we can just turn on each other.
Is that more Skaven and goblins?
Most,
I feel like they have more in common.
Yeah, goblins are more subterranean than orcs. Like orcs, yeah. Orcs typically are hanging out with goblins, so they hang out tertiarily. But it's mostly the night goblins versus the Skaven.
I was gonna say, it's just like compared to orcs, goblins. I mean, orcs are shitty, but goblins are like known for being the shitty green skins.
Yeah, so. They hate each other. They're constantly fighting. There's I'm gonna get to a specific theater that is like mainly just Skaven versus goblins.
Oh, okay, cool.
So yeah, they ran out of Warpstone, devised that plan, it backfired, but even though it fucked everything up, it did make a giant chasm under the Skaven Blight, so that kind of worked.
Win-win.
Yeah. So
we're thinking open concept.
Skaven Blight was in ruins, no building was left undamaged, the survivors clawed their way out of the rubble and began to crowd around the Temple of the Horned Rat, begging their god for guidance. Please save us, Horned Rat, please!
Which, did the big tower just collapse? Or?
It didn't collapse. It just sank into the earth.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it, like...
Is it still, like, poking out or something?
Yeah, it's poking out. So, it's such a tall tower. But, like, the entire city just... into the marsh.
Okay.
That's kind of what happened to the ancient city in Berserk. That's why the dungeon that Griffith is tortured in is the tower.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, as the Skaven began to squabble, the chapel doors flung open. And an eerie light, behind an eerie light, emerged the Grey Lords. 12 gray-clad Skaven, speaking in one voice, proclaimed that the time had come for the children of the Horned Rat to spread across the world.
We have a god?
Sick. They had to spread across the world, multiply in the dark places, and gather strength. The Horned Rat had spoken, and the Lords of Decay, as the Grey Lords named themselves, were the ones to lead them. They united the Skaven Hordes and established the Under Empire. So the Grey Lords would establish the First Council of 13 and the Order of Grey Seers, an order of mage priests chosen by the Horned Rat. So the Skaven really had to expand now.
Yeah.
And the Grey Lords divided the Skaven into 12 great hordes. They would travel to the far reaches of the world so that no matter how ambitious or catastrophic their plans, Skavendom would never risk annihilating itself. Ironic.
Hmm. Which, I didn't bring it up, but it's like, now the parallels are just like blasting in my brain, because, yeah, quick little thing about me. I went to Catholic school for 13 years, so,
auspicious number.
I know quite a bit of Christian lore, I guess you could say. And the tower is pretty obviously the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Babel.
Yeah.
Although it goes very differently. That's why I asked if it was destroyed, because that's like the whole, yeah, how that story goes. But then, like, then it sinks into the ocean, or the land, and then 12 disciples of God show up, and it's just like, wow, okay, so we're just evil Christians.
We're
like,
speed-running Abrahamic religions.
It's just Satanism. They're horrid rat men. They're the most horrid, horrible things. They're just terrible.
If you take every Bible story and then think, what if the devil not only was present, but won? But then the next Bible thing still has to happen. They're still, like, they have to go through all the flood, they have to go through all this. Like, every single Bible story happens. But also, the devil wins and is there. And he's like, yeah!
That's actually a good point. The storm is basically the plague of Egypt, you know?
Basically.
Or any time God smites.
But it's like everyone. The opposite. They were trying to be thankful to God. Like, thank you so much!
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all these blessings! Die!
Yeah, then some, I guess demigod shows up. It's never quite clear how powerful the old ones are.
Right?
But he can do that, apparently.
They at least have advanced engineering knowledge to, like, get the bell in place.
Yeah, so this began the era known as the Great Migration, or as the Skaven call it, the Great Sniff.
Hilarious.
It's too cute.
Isn't that great?
It's
so adorable. Yeah. That's one of those big, towny things you've ever
heard
of.
You gotta find your little place.
The Great Sniff.
You gotta sniff it out.
So many strongholds were established throughout the Old World. Notably, Lord Malkrit of the Council led Clan Mulder north to Troll Country and the mountain valley that would become Hell Pit. And then Lord Viskrin took Clan Eshin east to the ancient lands of Cathay. Some Skaven even crossed the sea to the west and founded societies beneath the jungles of Lustria. For those that remained in the Old World, they set about the task of killing all the dwarves.
As one does.
Yep.
They allied with the orcs during the Goblin Wars and helped the Greenskins penetrate Karak Ungor, flooded Karak Varn a year later, and feasted on the bloated corpses. Hold after hold fell until negative Imperial Calendar 380, the Skaven and Greenskin assaulted Karazak Karak, the Everpeak, the capital of Dwarvenkind, but that assault was turned back when the dwarves busted out black powder weapons. The Slayer engineer Malachi Mackaysen would later attest innovation to the only damn thing keeping dwarves alive.
Man, imagine you're going through something that's already called the Goblin Wars. So there must be a lot of fucking goblins. You're a dwarf. It's not going very well because goblins are quite dangerous and they know these tunnels well. And then, tertiarily, unrelated to all of that, there's a massive cave-in and everything's going even worse. The world is against you, but you're still able to... You're still holding them greenskins back. Mm-hmm. And then there are rat men.
The rat men come. What do you mean there are rat men?
And you call back home like they've allied with beast men. So we've got to pull some more people over here because they're really trying to push over here. What do you mean there are rat men everywhere in the world? They went everywhere? What about the guys in China? They say they're there?
Yep.
Like the king or whatever, emperor, whoever runs the last stronghold Cathay. Or whatever, and it's just like, yeah, they get to the point where it's just like, well, boys, time. Lock and load. And then they just start blasting.
There's a fun tidbit involving Cathay that I'm going to bring up when I go over to like notable events and stuff, involving one of the greatest insults to the like Eternal Empire of Cathay, and it involves the Skaven. So, let's see here.
They pushed him back because they busted out guns.
So the siege failed, but the dwarf capital would not survive another assault.
Right.
Another assault never came, however, because after almost a millennia, Clan Pestilence had returned from across the sea and began enforcing their creed on all of Skavendom. Thus began the great First Skaven Civil War. So before I go into the Great Civil War, during this time, the Skaven also battled Nagash at Cripple Peak for his Warpstone mine named Nagashazar by the Great Necromancer. He had been pushed out of Nakara by Prince Alcatazar and fought the Skaven to a stalemate for about a century. The Skaven would send wall bodies tactics and wipe out all the skeletons. Nagash would raise another army of undead and kill all those Skaven. And this happened for 100 years back and forth.
Yeah, it's like the perfect war of attrition.
That's hilarious.
Yep. Because it's like the usual tactic of like, well, we'll just eat the bodies. He's just like, no, no, no. Those are my soldiers now.
He gets kicked out of proper wizard country. And he's like, well, at least I have that old mine of evil crystals that my master left me. And then he shows up and there's a bunch of rats doing cocaine in there. And he's, get out of here! You can't do this in here! Now you have to engage in 100 years of protracted warfare with the rats over the cocaine mines.
Eventually, Nagash agreed to send shipments of warpstone to the Skaven if they would assist him in some tasks. Some warpstone is better than no warpstone, so the council begrudgingly agreed while plotting to take Cripple Peak for themselves.
Yeah.
This whole time, they would keep spying on Nagash until one day, Nagash would use magic to crush the Vaitai River and turn it into the Great Mortis River. This would end the Nakaran civilization and establish the Tomb Kings.
How did
Because everyone fucking died.
What did he do?
He poisoned the Nile.
He put warpstone in the Nile River.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he killed everyone.
It's just Egypt, guys.
Yeah.
If you don't know that.
Yeah. I don't want to go too into this part because I have so much other to cover. So yeah. Very, very abridged version of Tomb King stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he took Prince Alcatazar prisoner. The last, the doomed prince of a dead empire to torture him. And a massive use of warpstone was about to unfold over Cripple Peak. Dark energy was gathering up there. The Skaven took note of it instantly. And they didn't like that. The council used scrying magic to see a host of millions of undead shifting northward from the Southlands towards Nagashazar, the mightiest army the world had ever seen.
Hell yeah.
The council was in full plan.
Poison that river. Made a bunch of dead people.
Fresh corpses.
Yeah.
So the council was in full panic.
I love the idea of the council just seeing like the Warpstone Energy building. It's just like, we could get so high. Like, that's our drugs.
And the council was in panic because surely the first to face the wrath of the undead horde would be the Skaven themselves.
Right. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
If I had 80,000 more Skaven, I'd get his ass right now.
But none of their underlings possessed the nerve to face him, and none of the council would risk themselves at the behest of the others. So what were they to do?
They bailed, right?
Then Lord Velsqueak suggested a cunning plan. The Prince Nagash Caps would surely want vengeance against the Necromancer, and if properly equipped, would do the council's work for them. Lord Warlock Pascrit added that if the agent was such an expendable pawn, then the weapon that he wielded could be made that much more potent. So deadly, it would even take the life of its wielder.
Oh no.
For the first time in their long history, the Council of 13 unanimously agreed on a plan. In utmost secrecy, the council forged a blade of pure warpstone from Cripple Peak and Gromlo from Grakvarn. They wove dire spells into the molten metal, quenched in the acidic bile and magic poison, and carved with runes so deadly that to read them was to invite death itself. In the pommel, they set a chunk of enchanted warpstone so that they could see through the eyes of the wielder and channel their powers to protect him. Then, when the blade was finished, they sent their most trusted agent to Nagashazar with the fell blade locked in a lead casket. back at Cripple Peak, and a guy was planning a ritual that would turn the world into an undead wasteland, and he was very exhausted from the preparations. He was basically sitting on his throne, just like benched out.
He's almost won.
And at Khadazar, the captured prince of a doomed of a dead people was powerless to stop him until his cell opened.
Hold on.
A hooded figure go ahead.
Also, he was not planning to turn his army on the Skaven.
No.
No, I got other shit. They're fine.
Well,
they'll kill him eventually, as with all things.
He was
going
to do a ritual. And to my understanding, the ritual would have killed every living thing on the planet.
Right. He'll kill everyone eventually, but he wasn't going to be like, and now vengeance on you.
The Skaven are his parents.
Like, yeah.
He's just pulling a vitiate real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pulling a vitiate. He was pulling a vitiate.
Or maybe 100%. Or maybe Vishy pulled him a gash. I don't
know
the timeline.
Who knows? Who knows?
Same energy.
same energy. Liches, man. These liches. Trying to kill the whole world.
Great minds.
It's a good idea if you let it work.
So a hooded figure presented him with the Fellblade, one of the most vile weapons ever created. It dripped with the stuff of chaos, but Akhadazar didn't care. He simply saw a means to an end, and he took up the Fellblade to slay the lich. The Grey Seers used their magic to lead the prince to Nagash and ward him from his sorcery. The backlash actually killed two of the Grey Lords, so powerful was Nagash's magic, but they were able to protect Akhadazar, and he hacked Nagash into 1,000 pieces, and the Skaven appeared from the shadows and gathered up all those pieces and threw them into Warpstone forges, thus killing the Grey Necromancer and saving the world. Good job, Skaven! Wow!
Hooray!
So, Clan Rykek then took over the mines of Cripple Peak for a few centuries and grew very wealthy before Nagash would revive again and take Cripple Peak.
I love that you specifically was just like, he was tired because he was doing a thing, and then his worst enemy shows up with this fucking sword that was clearly just given to him.
Like, where the hell did you get that?
And I love like just the image of him just like trying to relax on his throne, and then he comes in and he's just like, God damn it. Really? He's like, it was just fucking rats, wasn't it?
What else could it be? So he takes Cripple Peak back, and then having exhausted the Warpstone mines, the Skaven figured, well, he can't be that dangerous without that much Warpstone, and all we wanted was the Warpstone, so you can keep it in a gash, we don't care. Bye. Yeah.
We've done all the crack here.
Hey, you said a lot of things, we said a lot of things.
Thus ended the war for Cripple Peak.
And you're not even dead no more. Call it Square.
Yeah, we call it Squaresies. Now I'm going to go into the first great civil war. The first Great Civil War started with the return of Clan Pestilence. Clan Pestilence was part of the first migration across the sea to the jungles of Lustria. So in some versions, they found a tunnel underneath the ocean and used it to go that way.
I was going to ask about that.
In most versions, they sailed.
Okay.
So the disease was rampant in the jungle, decimating their numbers. After a few short generations, they developed the resistance to the virulence and began to see pestilence as the true work of the Horned Rat. They settled in pre-human temples and learned many horrible things from the previous tenants. I'll go into what they actually found down there when I go into details of Clan Pestilence, but TLDR, they found a demon down there and basically said, hey, if you don't eat us, we'll do what you say. And they began worshipping a Nurgle demon. So, after they made pacts with that demon, go ahead.
He's just like, and then you too will follow the Father Nurgle. And they're like, actually, we follow the Horned Rat, but you're a great influence on us. We've really enjoyed your work.
So, they ended up calling this Herald of Nurgle the Horned One.
Oh.
So, I was going to say, it's like, did they worship it as like an aspect of the Horned Rat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they view the Horned Rat as basically the great defiler and corrupter, and that is like how he's supposed to be worshipped and venerated. The great ruinator is the false version of the Horned Rat.
Okay.
So they believe that the Grey Seer's creed is false.
They're both right and both wrong.
Exactly. So they began sacrificing and were banned fighting and enslaving the surrounding inhabitants and sacrificing them in their thousands to the Horned Rat and became obsessed, or rather to the Horned One, and became obsessed with worship and ceremony. And once they had inflicted sufficient ruin around them, well, in reality, they got kicked out. The Lizardmen kicked them the fuck out of Lustria.
Right.
They journeyed back to the Old World and they landed in the Southlands, creating a fortress and sending envoys to Skavenbite to proclaim themselves the new priesthood of the Horned Rat. Their emissaries were summarily butchered and sent back as
well. I was going to say, and it went well.
Yeah.
It went so perfectly.
We've decided to have our own pope. What do you think about that, old pope?
Exactly. This is the funniest part is that you'd think Skaven would know that wouldn't work, but of course they don't.
No, of course they don't.
Like, yeah, they're so arrogant, they think, like, this will show up.
People will
like,
be so excited to hear about this.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be so stoked.
Yeah. We got a guy back there. He's great.
Hear our doctrine of AIDS. Like, what won't they love?
No, we found the horned rat. We found him. Well, a part of him. Kind of. He's there, and we're here for you.
So in response to their envoys being butchered, the plague monks sieged the human city of Bagrusa and then besieged the undercity beneath it. The council mustered an army of clan rats and clan scryer war machines to intercede, but the news of the slight had spread and many strongholds already surrendered to clan pestilence. The lords of decay had lost their grip on the Under Empire, and it would not be established for quite some time. The civil war raged on for 400 years, dividing the Skaven into two.
It is the only reason that the incipient 400 years were not defined as the Skaven years.
The only reason the dwarves are still alive is because they were dividing themselves for 400 years.
Which, like, are Skaven baseline, like, more resilient to, like, disease and
yes.
shit? Okay, I was going to say, like, so they're using super AIDS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got the bad stuff.
Yeah, fight, like, other Skaven, you know?
Because they live in such squalid conditions, they're just so resistant to disease and plague just because they live in little shit and they pee on each other.
Yeah.
I already forgot about that.
They speak with piss.
They speak with piss. That's canon.
Yeah, piss with your chest.
So the Skaven Empire would be divided into two. The Northern Skaven led by the Council of 13 and the Southern Skaven led by the Plague Lords. Clans switched sides regularly, and a constant state of warfare led the ravaged the Southlands. But everything changed with the return of Clan Eshin. Clan Eshin had spent nearly a millennia studying in the East on the arts of shadowcraft, subterfuge, and assassination, effectively turning their clan into ninjas. Clan Eshin immediately swore allegiance to the Council and used assassination to bring all the unruly clans back into compliance. The Plague Lords saw they were losing ground fast and requested an audience with the full Council of 13. I should also note, it's the Council of 13. There are 12 Grey Lords. The 13th spot is symbolic for the Horned Rat. No one sits there. They have a horseshoe-shaped table, and the empty spot is for the Horned Rat. The spots that are closest to that spot are the most important spots, so seat 1 and 12. And the most irrelevant spots are the farthest from there, seat 7 and 6. Just quick aside about the council.
Yeah,
I imagine the chairs in front of the pillar or something. Or?
I don't know. I don't know where the Pillar of Black Commandments is stationed around there. I can't comment on that.
Okay.
But yes. So Nurglitch, the mightiest of the Plague Lords, traveled north to treat with the council. Naturally, there were several assassination attempts, but he did make it to the city, and he abased himself and requested a seat on the council, offering pestilence resources to the Lords of Decay. As an added degree of insurance and a gesture of Skaven goodwill, Nurglitch revealed he carried a strain of yellow skull fever and that if they failed to reach an accord, he would release it, killing the majority of the Skaven in the process.
That's a good move.
It's a pretty good move.
Shit, yeah.
Killing all the Skaven in the council and probably much of the Skaven race.
What about your guys? Oh, it'll kill our guys too.
Yeah. I'm already dead, so fuck you.
Yeah. I'm asking nicely, and I really didn't want to be a dick, but
yeah.
You know how we are.
So this is a dead man's switch. If my thumb comes off this, we all die.
So Nurglitch survived trial by combat and joined the council.
Huh?
The surface races had been spared the Skaven for 4 centuries, but now the plague monks of the plague lords and the assassins of Clan Eshins were added to the Skaven's arsenal.
I'm sorry, he won trial by combat in this way, which is the equivalent of, like, all right, you and me, we're fighting to the death, and the other guy shows up, like, he has his hands wrapped up, and then you pull out a grenade, and you're like, I'll do it! I'll do it!
I'll fucking do it!
Yeah.
When you said Clint Estrin came back, I assumed automatically, like, oh, they played both sides, like, they just hired themselves out, and then you're like, and then they, you know, swore fealty to the council. Oh, okay. Are they, like...
Strange moves.
Semi-honorable?
Yes. So, in fact, so I wasn't able to get much intimate information on this, but to my understanding, they are more honorable than the other Skaven solely because it's partially to do with the understanding of how their dojos work, and that if I am loyal to the clan, I will get shadow magic, basically. And understanding, like, their hierarchy is, like, being a ninja rat is... how do I word this?
Like you're, like,
the only thing a ninja rat hates more than another ninja rat is a non-ninja rat. And the only thing a ninja rat hates more than a non-ninja rat, rat is a non-skaven.
Yeah.
And do they... So is it sort of like they have to balance their, like, scheming is important, but you also need to practice your ninja skills. Yeah. Like, is that...
Kind of.
Your scheming, it must aid the entire clan, or it's hardly scheming at all. It's just fucking around.
I can't
like those
give
dummies
a
in the West.
Answer, but at very least, game mechanic wise, in Total War Warhammer, the Clan Ashen is the only Skaven faction that does not have the loyalty mechanic. They don't have to gauge loyalty.
Oh, okay.
Your units will never defect.
Huh.
So like that is like folded into that game. Like Skaven are always self-serving evil bastards. Mm-hmm. But it manifests differently in Ashen.
Yeah.
Like, when you typically hear, actually one of the only versions of cooperation I've ever seen in a short story involved Ashen, basically there was an assassin trying to kill a warlord, and the warlord got the one up on him, and then the second assassin showed up and killed him, and they both escaped. So that alone was unheard of, because the other assassin would have killed the other assassin and taken credit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's, but no, they both just like, okay, good job, buddy, thanks. And they got out. Another example of Ashen psychology, I guess I'll say, is there's like a story where an assassin is trying to infiltrate like a lizardman city, and he deliberately made his kills messy so that the other assassins would have to pick up the slack and get the heat for it. So he's still a self-serving, sabotaging asshole, but it more comes from like a arrogance thing of like, I don't know how I'm wording this. Like,
he's like a villain in a kung fu movie.
They're just ninja rats. And
yeah.
So they have rule of ninja and everything.
His stealth fu is better than theirs, or, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. Yeah, my kung fu is better than yours. That's why I deserve to be up here. It's like a perverted version of the typical Skaven psychology.
Honestly,
it's more about like, yeah, like personal prowess and like personal skill.
What must have happened is like they came to the conclusion like, okay, you know how every single Skaven thinks that I'm better than that guy? Okay, well, what if we had a reason we could justify it? And the other Skaven are like, well, how could we possibly do it? And he's like, okay, so what we do is we practice doing these flips, because that's something everyone can see. And if you're really good at doing the flips, you must be better, because you're literally better than them at it. And they're all like, this version of being better that isn't just based off of
arbitrary facts,
arbitrary belief, this could change everything.
Yeah, basically just leap that wall and feel so great.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is all of this is speculation. I will go into the Ashen in detail in a later episode, and we can discuss the ninja rats more intimately.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go into the Skaven Wars.
Yes.
So the Skaven Wars, the Skaven schemed for 500 years after this, until they turned their noses towards the Empire of Humans. Seer Lord Skridar led a ritual that rained warpstone down on the Empire, most of it landing in the province of Sylvania, as it typically fucking does. It's like an ongoing gag that warpstone always falls in that province. That's where the vampires are.
Yeah.
And Nerglitch IV then revealed the Black Death, created by the plague priest Puscab Falfur, a horrid plague that ravaged humans but was ineffective to the Skaven. Clan Verms used fleas, because they breed parasites, to unleash it upon the Man-Things, while the Skaven planted the seeds of civil war, which wasn't hard. The current emperor fucking sucked. He was the emperor because he was the most corrupt person in the empire, not because he deserved to be the emperor.
God, using fleas, like getting samples, he just like scratches his neck really quick, you know? Just has a pile of fleas, and then now we'll just give them some little evil crack rock. Yes.
By the year 1111, the Empire had grown corrupt and divisive, and the current emperor was despised by all. The Black Death would be described as, the first signs of infection were ominous blotches on the skin, followed by swelling of the joints and an agonizing femur. Victims could last from minutes to a few weeks before before disturbing final stages of the disease, when the afflicted writhed in convulsions for torturous hours. The lucky died quickly, and in death, the corpse turned into a dark gray ash.
Huh. huh. So it's not bubonic plague.
That's a pretty good plague.
This is Black Death.
This is Black Death.
Okay.
Because what you said was sometimes they last for weeks and sometimes mere minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Ow. What the? Hold on. Got a little blotch on the... Ah! You're just like, you've got bone-itis now and you're just twisting around on the ground. Then you turn into ashes.
So the Black Death was ravaging the Empire. It was pretty fucking shitty. And then Eshin agents assassinated Emperor Goldgather, though it was covered up as him succumbing to the plague. And while the Empire was reeling for a new successor, the Skaven poured out from underground in force. Thus began what the Empire would call the Skaven Wars, which would last for 13 years.
Goodness.
Half of the Empire died to plague, and a third of what remained was enslaved.
I was about to be like, 13 years? That's not that bad, like, compared to how long the other ones were. Half the Empire died of plague, and the other, like, a third of us was enslaved. Like, fuck! Okay, never mind. I rescind what I was going to say.
The entire Southlands, with the exception of Sylvania, was entirely conquered by the Skaven. Wessenburg, I think Nuln was spared. Like, all the great cities, I think, like, lasted. Most of them, at least, did. But, like, the minor province, minor cities, minor towns, all taken over by Skaven. Just, you guys grow food now, and if you don't do that, we eat you.
Goodness.
So the south was the hardest hit by the disease, and Middenheim, which is like one of the big cities towards the north, was spared because they closed their viaducts and basically avoided the plague. The Skaven sought to take Sylvania for that warp stone that fell, but they encountered an army of the dead mustered by the necromancer Frederick von Hell, and they lost all their traditional advantage against zombies. So, we're going to go into a little bit about Van Hell. So,
was he a good guy?
No. There are two versions of who Van Hell is. I'm going to go with the one that's more tragic. He was originally a priest of Mor, and which was like the god of death. They do like burial rites and stuff.
Okay.
And he slowly watched everyone fucking die due to the plague and due to the Warpstone meteors. And there was nothing left. And he ended up uncovering a necromancer's, like, study, like, hidden around.
Uh-huh.
And instead of destroying it, he was like, well, might as well give it a go. And he was driven to madness by everything that happened around him and decided, you know what's better than dying of plague and getting eaten by rats? Me killing you and turning you into a zombie. So I'm sparing you of this fate, actually. And he made a massive army of the undead to fight the Skaven. It's better you die by my hand and join my horde than be eaten by them.
Listen, I'm going to give you just one quick knife to the goo, and then you're gone in seconds painlessly.
And then you can take vengeance on the Skaven as a zombie.
Yeah, and you'll be so effective.
But I will, and that's what matters.
Yeah, you'll just be... you'll just be sleeping. Just be sleeping. There you go.
Yeah, because the AIDS bomb doesn't work on the zombies, right?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Did anything besides, like acid or some shit? Or
Skaven?
Like, yeah, like, did...
The poisoned wind would probably work on them. I believe it would work.
The poisoned wind?
We'll get into the poisoned wind later. Poisoned wind is one of the worst
things. I assume they had other terrible things besides just disease bombs. So.
Yeah.
It's basically mustard gas.
Oh, man.
But Warpstone mustard gas.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just aerosolized xenomorph blood.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good in tunnels, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Dwarfs have no chance.
God. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, Van Hell would raise an army of undead, and he famously, during the Battle of the Plague Dragons, raised an army of zombie dragons and completely decimated the Skaven. They got completely fucked by that, and it wasn't good for them. So, because they kept losing in Sylvania, it really gave the Empire some fucking breathing room. But the aftermath of the wars with Van Hell, Clan Pestilence clawed out 3 seats on the Council of 13 due to their shenanigans, plotting, and scheming. I'll go into more intimate details when I'm talking to Pestilence and their rise and glory.
Yeah.
They came out on top from that. Where a lot of people got fucking wrecked by Van Hell, Clan Pestilence came out on top. Because between the success of the Black Plague and the Warpstone they got from Sylvania, it seemed that they were going to usurp the Greyseers once and for all, until... the Black Plague was made that affected Skaven.
Ooh.
It was always the plan to use the plague against other Skaven didn't fall into compliance with Clan Pestilence.
Right, of course.
And rivals within the clan developed a version of the plague for use on other Skaven. after it was unleashed, likely by the Sea Lord Quikal, in an attempt to save the council from their being usurped by Clan Pestilence. Skaven Blight as a whole became cross with Clan Pestilence, and they had to lay low for a few centuries because they killed so many Skaven with their own Black Plague that multiple plague priests ripped limb from limb in the streets because they were so angry.
You're the plague
guy. You said we were safe. You said we were
you
safe.
You said exactly this would
we happen. Saw how bad it is. You said we were safe.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm just an actuarial plague priest. Tear apart him! Tear apart,
kill him! Like, of course they made a version that kills Skaven.
Yeah.
It's like, of course they had a meeting about it too, where it's just like, all right, we all agree. We're not going to make a version that can kill all of us, right? Ghost, yes, and they all already have a version. They already did that. Like, they're just waiting.
Fighting with Sylvania bought the Empire a much needed reprieve, and Count Mandred of Middenheim, later known as Count Mandred of Skaven Slayer, launched a crusade to wipe Skaven from the land. There's a famous story about Mandred defeating the Skaven with a pot of cheese. It's considered 100% satirical and comical. No one takes it seriously.
Got it with the old Acme free bird seed.
The story states that, like, everyone was starving because they closed the city gates. The Skaven are sieging them, but the Skaven are also starving because there's no fucking food.
Yeah,
because that's how they work. And so, because the cows were spared the plague, Mandred was like, "Everyone, gather your cheese!" And they put it in a giant pot, and they put that pot under the city, and then cooked it, so it made a giant fondue, and it smelled so good that the Skaven were driven to madness, and all of them swarmed the pot, and they basically like opened up the viaducts or whatever, and flooded the city, flooded the tunnels, and killed all the Skaven instantly. That's the story they tell.
And then free soup for everyone.
That's definitely like a. Normally, you're not. You know, it's not cool when you know certain civilizations / species are like super. You know, ethnically biased.
Yeah.
Having a story about how you defeated them with a pot of cheese because they're rat men. But yeah. This time. Yeah, dude, it's okay to...
If Skaven
go in on them a little bit. Yeah, that's fine. They're not good guys.
The Skaven were capable of redemption in 1,000 years, then yeah, they'd probably be like, that story is racist.
Well, you were pretty bad at
the time. You shouldn't have made a plague that agonizes you, a man, until he turns into ashes.
So after Mandred defeated the Skaven and freed the Empire of their reign, he would be crowned the Emperor in 1124. And that would end the Skaven.
Off the back of his slaying of Skaven.
And you would note that 1,000 years later, the majority of the Empire does not believe in Skaven.
That's hilarious.
It's fake. Bogeyman.
Those aren't real.
They didn't kill half our population. They didn't enslave the other third of our reign. That didn't happen. Also, they never put two and two together that was Skaven the Black. The Skaven made the Black Plague.
They just thought it was two shitty things happening at the same time. Because
Sigmar was punishing us for our sins.
The will of the gods.
So, you know, in the span of like a millennia, I could see that if Skaven just stopped appearing, then it's just like, did you know back 1,000 years ago, rat men came and swarmed the land? It's like, shut up.
They were beastmen. Beastmen came and fucked us up. We all know this.
You're drunk, Larry.
Exactly. You're beneath us right now. They're beneath us right now. Shut up, Larry.
You're thinking of Johannes Rats, the rat-shaped beast man, and he's fine for a beast man. He's not that bad. Just a big old stretched out man with a rat head. Just, hey,
here's a good one. So, got a little bit of time left here. I'm going to go into the Red Pox now.
The Red Pox.
Mm. So, the Skaven would try again 700 years later. They gave him another 200 years of planning this time. And I'll take a moment to bring up the reason why it takes so long for Skaven plans to manifest is because they have so many plans within plans and are constantly inheriting other people's plans.
Right.
So, like, someone will have a scheme and he'll get his underling on it, but then that guy will get backstabbed by a different underling. So that underling that he had then on the scheme is now basically like, oh, I can benefit from the scheme fully. But I have, like, 5 other schemes that are my schemes that I'm currently doing. So that scheme my overlord once had that is now my scheme, that's a back burner scheme.
cut. So it's just disorganization.
Evil society does not work, people.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Run a society this way.
It takes 700 years to launch another invasion because you run a society like madness. So they would try again another 7 years with the exact same strategy. This time they would use the red pox.
I mean, admittedly, it worked last time.
It did.
Devastating. Yeah. The red pox was slower to kill its victims, making it easier to contain, but offered extended suffering to its victims. It would be described as, the red pox is short-lived, lasting only 7 days. Transmitted primarily through drinking infected water, the red pox is characterized by internal symptoms of very raw throat and uncontrollable shaking, or initial symptoms of very raw throat and uncontrollable shaking. Within a day or so, these symptoms are replaced with internal bleeding, often with blood issuing from the nose, mouth, and eyes, violent bloody coughing, and severe internal pain.
Yeah, but at least you don't turn to ash.
At least you don't turn to ash.
I mean, maybe I'd rather be ash. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Although this one says
basically Ebola.
7 days. The other one could be minutes to weeks. So.
Yeah. Yeah, red pox is way, way better of the two.
You're kind
of
rolling the bones either way, you know?
I'd rather be the zombie. Where's Van Hal?
Where do I sign up?
Oh, I also want to bring up in penance for their fucking ancestor, the Van Hels became a famous line of witch hunters.
Right.
Van Helsing, yeah.
Of course.
So the first Van Hel, the notable, was a necromancer, and then all the other Van Hels were like, yeah, that guy was such an asshole, we have to like hunt witches now.
Classic.
Once the entire southern region of the Old World was ransacked by the disease, the Skaven struck. Sacking Brionne and Mirigalano, which is like the capital of Talaea, and also sacking Quenelle, and the lords of Bretonnia were not slow to respond, though, and they allied with the elves of Athaloran, as well as a vampire from the Duke Merovich of Musalon, which is like basically a vampire province of Bretonnia. And they drove out the Skaven fairly quickly.
That's right. Even the bad guys are helping.
Yeah, basically. Like, that's how much everyone hates Skaven. Is they even got a vampire to help them.
It's like... It's not that, like, undead are, like, a hard counter, but it takes away a lot of their shit.
It takes away a lot of their advantages. It takes away the strength of numbers, it takes away the fear factor, and it takes away any sort of virulence or, like gross out factor.
Yeah.
It's like zombies don't care.
And accelerates their like already short lives because after the end of the battle they don't have bodies to eat.
Also, and this is more of like a gameplay mechanic thing but still applies to the lore, zombies cause fear and Skaven are cowardly.
True.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Eshin like, are notable will, that, will they, the, that they're not.
Yeah.
Will the Black Hunger counter that? Or?
The Black Hunter would just go into a feeding frenzy.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. They'd want to eat that corpse because I'm pretty sure they can consume raw meat. Rotting meat.
Well, definitely. They will if they can't.
So after their failure here, that would spark the second great Skaven Civil War.
How did it fail?
Yeah, smash cut to the world leaders being like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
The fucking rats are killing each other again.
How did this fail again? What's wrong with our plans? It took us 700 years to come up with this. And one guy is like, I think it was your fault. What did you say? And then another 100 years of Skaven. How many years of Skaven War?
So we're going to go into the Second Great Civil War in our next episode. We're going to end that tonight here.
Oh, man.
With that, I'm going to end this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the nature of this content, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go and give me a follow on BlueStyle. You can support us on our Patreon. I'd also like to give a special thanks to our aspiring Magus, Uncle Matty, and a super thanks to our fellow Scryers, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Gablino, the Greater Good Boy, and my mom.
Love all you guys.
And with that, have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.